Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Here we go. Welcome in to Follow the Money. It is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss along with Pauly Howard. We're live in downtown Vegas. Circa Resort and Casino was a spot championship week now, right in the smack dab middle of all of this. And we are going to go heavy college basketball today. Bruce Marshall coming up a little bit later on in the program for a full half an hour. His best bets for tonight and this week. We'll do Mountain West and a little Raiders talk with Ed Graney, who covers both for the Las Vegas Review-Journal later on in the show. And Rocco Miller is dynamite on college basketball. He is going to be in studio a little bit later on today. He'll be in for a half an hour. He covers this sport the entire year. Great on Twitter. He knows everything about all these players, every conference, all the lower leagues, you name it, no problem. And we'll talk about it with him at that point. And the Players' Championship as well, Pauly. Big golf event this weekend. Jeff Seeley on the program in 30 minutes. I think it's pretty safe to say that from now until the end of the year, it's unlikely to have another night in sports like we had last night.
Yep.
Would you agree?
Yep. Italy beats USA. The Crosby news. Second most points in a game in NBA history.
Some of this stuff is happening at the same exact time.
Yep. A triple overtime thriller in the Southland Conference. The Luka custody fight, which you can throw that in there for good measure. There was a lot of stuff happening, you're right, about going on at the same time as well. And even the Raiders coming out with the he didn't fail the physical. They're just reneging.
Sure.
And we have no further comment at this time. That was a great press release what the Raiders put out. So that's
also like per reporters who have talked to a lot of people across the league. They're basically calling BS on Baltimore. And it's, you could say it's not a good look, but then they turn around and sign Trey Hendrickson.
What do you think I agree. Do you think it was the public reaction to it? Of he's 30, why would you give up two number ones? Why don't you? Because you know he's not going to pass the physical because he just had surgery.
Of course. They didn't find any new information on Mason Crosby's health. That's impossible. People are, again, calling BS on that.
Uh-huh.
No, you didn't. You knew what you were going to get all along. I can't believe the NFL actually allowed it. I think they should step in and say, I don't think so.
True, absolutely. It kills the Raiders because you signed all these guys to free agency. So now, unexpectedly, you have a guy coming back that makes a ton of money.
Right.
And then, good luck trading him now. I mean, you're not going to get two number ones
for
him.
No, that's not happening.
I thought you'd go to the Cowboys, but the Cowboys are out now, too.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll turn around and I'll call Dallas because they offered a one, a two, and a player. Well, they're out. So now it's like, well, who am I going to trade him to? And now it's too late in the game.
Yeah, also, will books, if bettors want refunds on bets that they made, going back to last Friday night when the numbers were moving on Baltimore, are they going to get refunds if they don't want that trade anymore or if they don't want that bet? No, they're not going to.
Right. Yeah, I'm not buying what they're selling to about it. Was a Raiders saying it was just a trim on the meniscus. Baltimore saying that the knee was shredded. But other people are saying so many physicians were involved here that it's on Baltimore.
Right.
And Baltimore did pull a fast one.
So how about this? Again, if you go back a couple of days before the news broke on Friday, Baltimore was around 11-1 to win the Super Bowl. And that would be a big enough move to entice some people to bet on them. And books moved them down to like one of the favorites at plus 950 in that neighborhood anyway. And then if you bet that, thinking, okay, I'm going to hold on to that for the entire year. I really like the addition here. They're going for it. And there may be a championship roster. I expect some positive regression this upcoming season. And then all of a sudden, Baltimore goes back on the deal. There's no more Max Crosby. They go from plus 950 to 14-1. I'd be absolutely pissed off if I bet on Baltimore about this.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a good move today, though. And I'm surprised Hendrickson went there, too. But they're able to lock that guy up today for a four-year deal. That's a good comeback, what they did. But now it's just the Raiders are behind the eight ball now about how this happened. So, I don't know. They said they're going to try to still call and see if they can do a deal, but you're not even going to get close, I think, to the compensation of what Baltimore offered.
No, you're not. I mean, so that really gives the old Scroogey to the Raiders big time, I would say, on that. So other big news, like you mentioned, USA loses to Italy last night. They're laying 5.5 runs, by the way, in that game.
I love the tweet.
Ain't nothing.
Aaron Judge is the best hitter in baseball, but the last guy won up in a clutch situation. It's fair.
How about that?
It's fair. And then the DeRosa controversy, and that's why you play the games. Nothing's for certain. It's a huge upset. They were 7-1, And now you need help here from the tiebreakers. And it was whole thing's unfortunate what happened.
Yep. Mexico and Italy is supposed to be underway now anytime. And the way that this boils down now with the tiebreakers, Mexico advances by scoring 5+ runs. Mexico and Italy advance if Mexico scores 4 runs or fewer. And so they thought that they were alive the entire time. Additionally, the Italy team advances with a win. They're eliminated with a loss and 5+ runs given up. So could there be a gentleman's agreement here? Let's kick USA out of this tournament. Mm-hmm. Keep them out. Let's have a game in which we can, you know, well, it's like 4-0 right away. Let's shut it down. That's it. Nothing else to see here. Play a 2-hour game and make sure that we eliminate the team that was favored to win the entire thing.
Uh-huh.
Could we see this happen?
Yeah.
Much like that Raiders-Chargers game a handful of years ago, the last Sunday night of the regular season, if knucklehead Brandon Staley did not screw that up for the Chargers, they were going to end in a tie.
Yep.
And both teams were going to make the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
The Raiders were playing for a tie. The player said it after the game.
Yeah.
And he was such an idiot that he screwed it up.
Yeah. All this, though, is what should have been a great night. All this is negativity, though. You know, shame on the Ravens. Shame on USA and DeRosa. And I think shame on the Miami Heat and the Washington Wizards. Which, you don't want this. This is supposed to be a great night for the NBA, and there's all controversy. And I thought, I agree with a lot of people. I thought it was a farce. Why are the Wizards, the Heat, that's a great organization. Spoelstra's an excellent coach. You're fouling on purpose against a pathetic team so he can get as many points as he can. And oh, by the way, he passes the legend Kobe Bryant. I would have taken myself out of the game. I don't want any part of that farce.
I
thought the whole thing was ridiculous. He shoots 43 free throws. The Heat are fouling on purpose. It reminded me when Booker went for 70 in the Garden. They lose and they celebrate. I felt dirty watching the whole thing.
I want the question to be asked to Bam Adebayo. Did you ever consider, because he said on SVP last night on SportsCenter that Kobe was his idol. He never met him, but that was his hero. Did you ever consider getting 80 and then taking yourself out of the game because you did not want to pass him second place all time? I don't think that question has been asked.
Yeah, because Spoelstra said there's no way I was taking him out.
Right.
Well, why are you fouling? Why is there 43 free throws? What are the Wizards doing? Now, I give him full marks for the first quarter. It was incredible.
At 31.
31, I know. But I remember the Kobe game. It was iconic. It was a championship Sunday game. They played the Raptors. He had a lousy team around him. And he's one of the best players in NBA history.
I think you're also misremembering exactly what happened in the fourth quarter. I have all the details from both that game and Wilt Chamberlain's game. Scoring 80-plus or 100-plus is never going to look good for the league at all.
Yeah.
Kobe shot 46 field goals in that game. He went to the line 20 times, 7 of 13 from downtown. He took 13 of the Lakers' last 17 field goal attempts.
Sure.
And all
it was a tight game.
You know, hold on. And all 13 free throw attempts in the fourth quarter to get to 81.
Mm-hmm.
So they were up by 17 with 4 minutes left. He stayed in, scored 10 more, and no one else on the team even took a shot for the next 3 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So you have that. And for people who want to actually really live in the past and say, yeah, Wilt, come on, 100 points, never going to be topped. Uh-huh. He scored 59 in the second half. And if you think it was bad last night with Bam Adebayo, Wilt took 95 shots in the game, 63 field goal attempts and 32 free throws. And Philadelphia was letting this, just like last night, right, with Spoelstra fouling. This is people historically speaking, going down memory lane last night to just so everybody has a full awareness on this. Philadelphia was letting the Knicks score quickly in the fourth quarter so they could get the ball back and give it right back down to Chamberlain. And oh, by the way, what was he playing against? Six guys that were 6'3", 6'4"?
Oompa Loompas.
Yes.
Yeah, no doubt. But Kobe also had that incredible run where he was scoring 50 a night. And that's when Phil Jackson said, you want to stay in the game? And Kobe said, no, I'll get 70 or 80 another time after he lit up Dallas, that run he was on. So, but the fouling on purpose again. And that's, and the other thing is, if you would have done a draft or thought, give me 100 or 150 players that could do this, he wouldn't have made the list. He would have been a top 200.
I think 100 he would have made the list.
For a guy to score 83 points and it's Bam, and it happens in this game, and he shoots 22 threes and 43 shots and 43 free throws. Incredible. Yeah.
So I was tracking it when it was going on. I noticed at halftime his updated point total was 57.5. And it was even money to the over. I thought I wasn't watching the game. I was only watching it online, like tracking the scores. And I thought, well, if he has a chance at getting 60, maybe 70, I think Spoelstra might do it. But I didn't have a feel for the game going on, so I didn't bet it.
I don't understand the fouling on both sides. Why don't you double team him?
They were tripling team. It was an ugly watch. I watched all the highlights after it was over with. They were triple teaming him up the court late in the fourth quarter. But why'd you not do that earlier on?
Yeah, but it was also the parade to the free throw line, too, nonstop down the
stretch. A lot of those calls were terrible.
I think everyone got caught up in the whole thing. Officials, both teams, and coaches, which was unfortunate.
There was evidently one book. I don't know if this is real or not, but there was a FanDuel actually offered a bet on will he score 74-plus in the game. That would become the third highest scoring game of all time at 80-1, and some people were betting that. If that stuff is all real and not photoshopped or made up.
Yeah.
Because I looked around too. I never saw anything like that, but we don't have actual FanDuel in Nevada. So this show is brought to you by ProfitX. Right now, you can win a free trip worth up to $10,000 during March Madness with the King of March. Use the code VSINMM. Up next, a lot of college basketball on today's show, as always. We have a couple of more title games to get into tonight. I think one of the numbers is absolutely fishy, and we're going to update the live betting board for the games that we have in action as of right now. I have a bet on a game currently in the second half. I haven't checked the score now in about 20 minutes since the show started, but I'll tell you about that. And we'll get into other live betting numbers on the college basketball schedule for this Wednesday of Championship Week coming up on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hey, let me get your attention real quick, podcast listeners. It's March, which means the madness is officially upon us, and the folks at VSiN have gone crazy with this one. For $29.99, you get unlimited access to VSiN Pro through May 1st. I'm talking picks throughout the tournament, public betting data for every single game, sharp tools, projections, articles, and more. There's already a ton up on the site for Championship Week, which means every day you wait is an opportunity missed. Just click the link in the description to get started. It's March, baby. Now back to the show.
Is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Games that we have in action right now, College Basketball Championship Week. This is in the ACC. Louisville closed as a 6.5-point favorite against SMU. Back-to-back games now for the Mustangs, total 164.5. And right now, SMU on top, 41-37, under 13 minutes to go now in the game. The live betting total here is 134.5, down 30 points from the closing total. And Louisville is still a 1.5-point favorite in this game. Anything here for you? Is SMU safely in after yesterday?
He's got them last four in.
Okay.
They're in with a win. And depending if we have bid thieves, but I would think I think they're going to hang on and win here. A lot of time left, but they're playing well. And what is a unique game in terms of low scoring based on what we've seen the last couple of days. A lot of these conference tournament games are going to the moon.
Yep. Also, I think, do I have this right, Lenard? There's another big game right now. This is Cincinnati taking on Central Florida.
Correct.
I believe what Central Florida's last four in, Cincinnati last first four out?
Yep.
Okay. And Cincinnati closed. They took some money up to 3.5 at some spots. I thought the total last night in the overnight was too low, 147.5. 2.5 points of CLV, right in the trash again, 27-26 at halftime. No chance this game's going to go over.
Cincinnati would need this one and another one.
Is that what he's... Yeah, okay, that makes sense.
He's got UCF last four in. I do think they'll come back and win, although the line was telling in this game. And he's got Auburn, the first team out. They are down 3 at the half against Miss State. They were an 8-point favorite. They are 16-15 on the season. That tells you how atrocious the bubble is.
And they're not shooting the ball well today. They are 36% from the floor and 4-15 from downtown. Miss State... a little bit better, 14-34 overall and 3-12 from downtown. I just hope that they get beat here so we can stop talking about that garbage team and that they don't get in. And in the other game, Cincinnati and Central Florida, a lot of easy missed shots so far from when I was watching it. Both teams are shooting below 33% in the game. Cincinnati actually from downtown, pretty good, 6-12. Central Florida, 2-11. That's it. And when these two teams played a little bit earlier in the year, one game was lower scoring. The other game was 92-72. It went flying over. but not today. I'm going to need double, triple overtime in this game, much like McNeese State last night for people who had the over on that.
Oh, sick. Double overtime, still good. Triple overtime to go over gets you.
Yeah, that's vomit-inducing right there.
That is, what do you think of that game? That game got over because it's coming up in half an hour.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great matchup. But I think McNeese shouldn't be 3.5 coming off a triple overtime game that ended at 1 in the morning. That's a short turnaround.
So the fact that they're favored, that's one thing. But how about taking money to drive it all the way up to 3.5 here? So I have them at plus 120 to win the conference. I came back with a bet as to win exactly how big my bet was on them to win the conference on Stephen F. Austin at plus 3.5. Again, I'll try this like I did last night. Did not work with Merrimack and Siena, but I'll try to win both bets and hope that we get a McNeese win by 1, 2, or 3 points here. But even if I didn't have the McNeese outright at plus 120, I'd take Stephen F. Austin plus 3.5. I just think the number's too big now.
Both teams are lucky to be here.
Oh, very much so.
Austin won by 2. They had to get some missed free throws late. And McNeese, I think their biggest lead in any of the overtimes was only 3 points. In most of the overtimes, they were behind.
Yeah, they were trailing.
They needed a 3 to force double overtime, and they got lucky that they're here. And now after the triple, what do you have left in the tank too, right? Triple overtime thriller, and now you got to come back with the automatic bid on the line and no at-large bid in the Southland Conference.
Yeah, well, on
so
top
that's
of
coming up. Yep.
Paul, on top of all of that, again, it's an early start kind of for them.
Yes.
5 o'clock Eastern.
Mm-hmm.
2 o'clock out here. So it's just like...
I would think it'd be a rock fight. Both games were ugly yesterday.
Yeah.
I think 133 is too high.
And by the way, for what it's worth, F. Austin, again, 22-8 ATS on the year. One of the best marks in the entire country.
Yep. And they split the regular season meetings. Wyoming making a comeback, I would take the over in play in the UNLV game. It's been up and down. UNLV was knocking down some threes. They had a 15-point lead. It's down to 7, 150.5 is the in play right now with 16 minutes left down the street.
Wyoming, did you say this? They started 0 of 13 from downtown?
No, I didn't know. I didn't see that.
They're now 2 of 17. Like, they're going to start hitting at least some more of these threes, you would think. And they're shooting 32% as of right now. Flip side, UNLV, almost 50% from the floor. So grabbing Wyoming or the over, I think, right now might not be a bad play. And we saw this a bunch of times already, like in some of these games when down the stretch, if you're close, the fouls could be starting with who knows how much time left on
it's
the clock.
Outrageous.
I know.
NBA and college. If you have the last week has been out of control. If you're up 3, 4, 5, 6 points with less than a minute, you cannot foul. Number one, if they can set their press off the free throws, or you can get the offensive rebounds, and you don't want the clock to stop.
Mm-hmm.
It keeps happening. And then that happened in the NBA, too, where the Warriors somehow blew an 8-point lead with 90 seconds left. They're up 4. They keep fouling. And they happen to miss the free throw. The Bulls made their effort, and it goes to overtime.
Yeah.
And then Draymond Green fouled with, make the guy knock down a shot when you have the lead. Stupid.
I would agree. And, oh, by the way, the Bulls are quote-unquote, one of these tanking teams.
That was a horrific loss.
I would agree.
You cannot lose to a team that has no incentive to win after you just got embarrassed. The Jazz only had 2 wins when Markkanen was out the whole year. You lost that game. You come back, you're up 8 with 90 seconds against a bad outfit, and you blow the game at home. Stop fouling people.
And what's the latest now on Steph?
He's out another 10 days.
Okay.
Have you had it? I know. I don't know this runner's knee, but it's.
I've never had runner's knee.
But that they might just say the hell with it now. Okay. Well, give us the 10 seed. Whatever. We're not going anywhere anyways. We'll try to get LeBron, get Butler back, and we'll focus on next year because we're not going anywhere.
Yeah, they have no chance of doing anything in the playoffs this season. By the way, in the Big Ten right now, this is an entertaining game. USC and Washington are tied at 69 apiece. Double nice. Washington closed 3.5. Total 154.5.
Yeah, good game.
About 2.5 minutes to go in this game so far, but it's been back and forth pretty much the entire time. Early game here in the Big Ten. And that's pretty much up to date. Well, one more, Butler and Providence, 21-9 right now. Butler on top, updated total there, 162.5. I think our buddy Chris Massera was on the over of that game, and he's been having a nice week so far in college basketball. What do you like later on? I told you that I like Stephen F. Austin plus 3.5. What do you like?
I like West Virginia catching the points against BYU. I like Texas to cover against Ole Miss.
Okay.
And I like the Big Sky championship game over, which is unfortunate. It's a 4 seed against a 7 seed. Idaho against Montana. Bruce Marshall's got a thought on that game coming up,
okay.
too.
Okay. Let me give you another one. Why is Boston U favored at Lehigh, and they're taking points still up to 2.5 in the Patriot League championship tonight? On January 14th, Boston U was laying 4.5. They lost 93-91 in overtime. Then on February 22nd, Boston U was favored again by 1.5. They lost that game, 70-67. So it is double revenge tonight for Boston U. However, Lehigh 12-4 at home, 2 losses in overtime. Colgate got him one time, double overtime to Navy, who was awesome this year, and the other one. And BU played a phenomenal game against Navy. They made 64% of their twos, 46% from deep, and 84% at the line. They finished 6-11 on the road this year. Lehigh is a very good three-point shooting team. Why are they dogs?
They were dogs in the last game. Mm-hmm. They must have a low power rating. They were dogs at home against Colgate. And good luck to BU to shoot like that again.
That's exactly
right. After
what
they did. Maybe Gladden was hurt, missed some time. Certainly BU appears to be better than what their record is. But then again, Navy couldn't make a three, and Gladden was a superstar in that game.
Right. Luke, now I know there's been a regression of the angle here, but this one qualifies, does it not? Yeah, Lehigh qualifies as an angle play from our producer, Luke. Torvik, Haslam, Greg Peterson, they all have Lehigh favored in the game. And Peterson wrote about this game today on VSiN.com, and his advice was just take the money line. He thinks they're going to win the game.
Yeah? Okay. Yeah, I'm sick. Yeah. It's too bad. This should be Navy.
Oh man. You know, I will. This is not going to happen. People were making the case that Navy should get an at-large.
Well, that's not happening.
That will not happen, but...
No. Follow the Money brought to you by ProphetX. March Madness can take you anywhere in the world. The King of March is ProphetX Tournament Contest. Free trips worth up to $10,000 up for grabs. 10 pregame spreads or totals across the 67 tournament games. Hit your volume goal to get entered. Flights and hotels, wherever you want to go, covered. Keep winning in sets of 10 and keep earning entries. Download ProphetX right now. Promo code VSINMM and become the King of March. 10 plays wins $10,000. Code VSINMM, become the King of March at ProfitX. Go now.
I tweeted out a poll last night. Will Bam Adebayo scoring 83 points in a single game this year in the NBA be the most unlikely thing to happen in a single sporting event this year? Like 64% of people said yes. Great response, though, from Steve. Miami winning the entire thing and going undefeated would be more unlikely. Mm-hmm. Well, that takes the cake for all time. Another person chimed in by saying if the Colorado Rockies won the National League West, I'd probably do it as well.
Well, he had help. I mean, to shoot 40-plus times and 43 free throw attempts, he got a lot of help.
If I'm the NBA, I would burn the fourth quarter of that game.
Yes.
Analysis Best Bets Players Championship this week. Jeff Seeley joins the program to discuss next.
Is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Follow the Money is brought to you by ProphetX, and right now you can compete to become King of March and win free trips up to $10,000. All you have to do is download the ProphetX app and use the code VSINMM. Go and get the ProphetX app today. Again, the code is VSINMM. We go out to the Progressive Guest Line now to talk some golf, specifically the Players Championship. You can follow Jeff Seeley on X at Cutmaker Jeff, and the Cutmaker podcast is out right now. Jeff, good afternoon. Thanks for the time as always, pal. Before we get into your best bets for this week and guys that fit your model the most for TPC Sawgrass, looks like a little weather. I think, tomorrow afternoon, maybe into Friday morning. So how does that skew things for you?
Yeah, what's interesting, guys, is that if it does rain, there could be a pause in play, right? So I think a lot of this could level out, because if there is a stoppage in play and they have to go into the next morning, that's going to skew everything. So I think it's going to be firm and fast on Thursday morning where it'll play the toughest, and then it could be a little easier to get in the afternoon on Thursday and Friday morning. So I think it's going to be something I'm building my handicap overall, but I'm not going to overweight it too much. Maybe, a small percentage.
All right, let's start at the top. Morikawa, 25-1. Take it away.
Yeah, guys, I mean, I'm not a Morikawa guy in general. And honestly, I think that he's, you know, obviously he's clearly struggled for the better part of the last two seasons. But right now, he's in as good a form as there is. And he's clearly the play this week for the price. I think, you know, at north of 20 to 21 or around that range, I mean, coming in on fire, the iron play is as good as there is. He's just a very straightforward, obvious play this week. So he was the first guy on my card. And the second guy on my card was Siwoo Kim. What was so fascinating to me is Tuesday morning, as I was writing this up, I wrote up Siwoo at 34-1 on DraftKings. And within the next 10 hours, he was 24-1. So I think that's what's even more interesting is, again, you got a guy who is a previous winner. He was plus 610 top five in the ties pay full market. Now he's in that 425 range. I love Siwoo Kim as much as anybody this week. Any model you run, Siwoo is worth the top five play. I have number three in my model behind Scotty and Rory. I've seen him as high as second and as low as fifth. He's played in this eight times. In those trips, he has a win and two top tens. Never missed a cut. So I like Morikawa, and he's fairly straightforward play, but a little higher odds. I like Siwoo Kim even better. And again, he's gained with the putter 50% of the time. That's been his biggest struggle in general is the putter. If Siwoo has at least a even gaining, you know, putting week, he's going to be phenomenal. Okay. So I like Siwoo top five a ton.
You brought up Rory there. He's between 15 and 17 to win this thing outright again. But the back was an issue last week, and he had to withdraw after the second round leading into round number three on Saturday. What does that do to you in terms of Rory this week, and where do you think he's at with his back?
You know what, Mitch, it's a really good question. And he's not on my betting card for that reason. In terms of DFS, I actually played a little bit of him in DFS because I think that back will have him at lower ownership. So while I'm not betting him at least first or second round, I may bet him on the weekend if I see, you know, some good signs. Obviously, he can play here. The numbers drifted clearly. There was at one point, I think like a 19 out there on Rory. So I'm taking a wait and see approach in the betting market. And in DFS, I'm going to play a few shares just because I think he's going to be extremely low owned relative to his upside.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Let's go down the board a little bit here. I think you had your eyes on Brooks Koepka, and you brought this up, I think, 2 weeks ago here on the show, but his number has dipped as well. So what have you done with Brooks, and who are you looking at, I guess, in his same range instead of him?
Yeah, so I'm actually at the official home of what will be Koepka Palooza 5, the Piper in Noblesville, Indiana here. So, and it's funny because Koepka we had at 100-1 2 weeks ago, and now he's drifted all the way to 45-1. I can still see a play on him. It was very good return form putting. He's always been a streaky putter. When you zoom way out, like 8 years ago or so, he was a solid putter. Gained 7 strokes putting his first U.S. Open win. Tee to green game was so good that even when he had off days with the putter, he could still finish T13 in tournaments. Now we're at the point where we're at an event where the putting doesn't matter as much. I'm very, very confident in his driver, which is going to be super important this week. Gained an average of 2 strokes putting, though, in his 6 trips to the Players. I think Koepka's very, very live. I like him, actually, if I'm going to play him as much as anything, top 10. I don't think he's going to win. I'm going to have a little bit in the outright just because that's my guy. But a top 10 plus 350 or better and sprinkle a little in the outright in Koepka.
All right. And you want Goddard up as well. He's in that same range right now, and he has won on tour twice already this season.
For sure. And he's dripped as the ninth lowest golfer on the board from 9th to 16th. And he's lost a little off the tee, but gained everywhere else at Bay Hill en route to a T18. Went on a run of 4 rounds in a row of losing on the greens. Now we get him on his best putting surface. So you're looking for guys who can drive the ball in the fairway, have a good overall tee to green game. Goddard comes in 8th overall in my model, 4th in tee to green. I think this market overreaction is interesting and definitely going to take advantage of Goddard this week. My favorite way to play him is plus 170, top 20, and I'll have a little bit of an outright ticket on him as well.
How do you play Knapp after the withdrawal at the Arnold Palmer?
You know what, Paul? Honestly, I think that withdrawal has fed into this price. I mean, you have to love that WD if you're a Jake Knapp backer. 50-1 is a great price because I think we would have seen a lot of the same thing we saw with Siwoo, where if you would have played, we would have seen some drift down the board or up the board, I guess, a little bit. So I don't want to go crazy on Knapp this week. I'm not playing him in my main DFS lineup because of the sickness risk, if you will. But 4th overall on my model this week, second in total strokes gained over the last 24 rounds. So I'm playing top 20, Jake Knapp, plus 175, my core way to play him. And I'm having a little bit in the outright, too, because I think he's extremely live to win.
Okay, even more down the board right now. And it's Follow the Money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Our guest, Jeff Seely. You can follow him on X at Cutmaker Jeff. And his podcast called the Cutmaker Podcast is out and available now for the Players Championship as well. In the 80, 90, 100-to-1 range, who are you looking at?
Yeah, so I bet Thigala a few weeks ago at 120. Now he's in that 80 range. He's found his form, and his price relative to his form is pretty crazy. He has three top 10s in his last six events. So we're getting a guy north at 80-to-1 with three top 10s in his last six events. Throw in a T18, T22, and T60, and there's a lot to like. Look, he struggled here last year, but in 2024, he finished T9 here. So a finish I would be thrilled with this weekend. Over the last 24 rounds, Thigala is 13th in total strokes gained and 10th in bogey avoidance. His longer-term form doesn't look nearly as good, but when you zoom in, there's a lot to like. I think this is a great price. Market certainly seems to agree as he's come down from 120 to 80 or so in the last 48, 72 hours. Even though his top 20 price is down to plus 250 or so, I still like it. I'm going to play him at that top two, that plus 250 market.
Okay. All right. You had an unbelievable call last week. Barnes almost finished top 20. He had that long putt that dropped him to 21st. It was 30-to-1. Is there a Barnes-type play here on a bomber?
Guys, it seems highly unlikely that my boy Tom Hollywood Hoagie, 310-to-1, is going to win the Players. But if I bet $5 on Eric Barnes last week, I'm going to bet $5 on Hoagie this week. And I actually played Hoagie first round top five at 25-to-1. Handicap is very similar to Barnes in that Hoagie plays well here. He's fourth in the field in strokes gained at Sawgrass over the past 3 years. Yes, he's missed back-to-back cuts in his last two tournaments. However, prior to that, he spiked at an event that he plays well at, the AT&T at Pebble Beach, where he finished T14. He's won that event before. He finished T8, the American Express, a course where he had a T6, a second, and a T17 prior. Simply put, guys, Hoagie shows up here. He's never missed the cut, and he's 310-to-1. And his seven appearances, his finishes are T3 last year, T3 3 years ago, T22, T30, T33, T54. Hoagie just shows up here. How about this? Top five, ties pay full, 35-to-1. That's absolutely worthy of a piece of money bet, $25 or so. Love me some Hollywood Hoagie this week.
Okay. And what'd you make of Kurt Kitayama as well?
Yeah, no, listen, I like Kurt Kitayama. I added my notes here at the bottom. I mean, guys, listen, in the last 10 months, Kurt Kitayama, 19 events, one win, three top fives, one top 10, six top 25s. He has number of rounds where he's lost more than one shot in approach, zero. Number of rounds where he's lost more than one shot off the tee, zero. And a time where you need a ball striker, Kurt Kitayama is a guy to file a play, top 20, maybe a first-round leader, like Kurt Kitayama, again, is another play this week.
All right, great analysis as always, man. Thanks for the time, and go get him this week, okay?
Thanks, fellas. Take care.
Appreciate you. Follow the Money brought to you by ProfitX. March Madness got a lot more interesting. ProfitX running King of March. You can win free trips worth up to $10,000 just by betting the tournament. Win 10 pregame spreads or totals across the 67 games and hit your volume goal. You're in and entered flights, hotels, wherever you want to go. ProfitX covers it. Every additional 10 wins earns you another shot. It's easy. Just download the app, code VSINMM, and start winning King of March only on ProfitX. Code VSINMM. 10 plays wins $10,000. Code VSINMM.
Have a lot of games right now in college basketball that are very close. Every single one being played right now within 6 points the way it looks. And a lot of them within a basket. We'll get you updated on the live betting numbers coming up. Paul has win some, lose some coming up here as well. And the Southland starts at the very top of the hour. I like a side in that game.
Some Lose Some is sponsored by The Sharp Plays. Were you a winner last night?
Wow, winning.
Or was it a rough one?
Well, they can't all be winners, can they?
Loser! You're a loser!
Pauly Howard recaps the night in sports betting in Win Some, Lose Some.
WBC, USC falls to Italy. Italy 7-1 in the big upset. I don't know if it's real, but it was on X. This is incredible by FanDuel. If they've had this up, they claim, a guy says he bet Bam to have the third most points in history at halftime of the game yesterday, and it paid 80-1. Luka had 73. David Thompson had 73. Bam would have been third all time if he got to 74. Kobe with the 81. Wilt with 100. He goes for 83. That's pretty good if that was offered. Bulls 3-1 on the money line. Another collapse by the Warriors. Rough night for the books. The first seven favorites covered in the NBA. And those were huge numbers. 16, 15, 10. All the big boys got there early on. Kings plus 3 to minus 2.5. Huge comeback against the Pacers. Hockey, the Blue Jackets were 2-1. The Oilers, 7-plus goals in a game, 13 of their last 14. The Bruins have won 13 in a row at home, and only Jonathan Davis would have this tidbit. For the 8th straight time, L.A. at Boston went to overtime.
What?
How can that be? Overtime was plus 310. That makes no sense, but it cashes again. And I will say, win some NFL? Will they play a game this season and moving forward Thanksgiving Day Eve? Well,
of course you think it's win some.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
It's horrible.
Oh, come on.
Couldn't be any worse.
A Wednesday night? A triple header?
That week? Come on, NFL. Stop it already. It's way too much. You've gone completely overboard. We don't need an NFL game on Thanksgiving Eve. It's stupid and unnecessary.
When did they say we'll never play on Tuesday and Wednesday? Wasn't that a couple years ago?
2 years ago, yeah.
And now they're coming out and after Christmas, and now they might end a Wednesday
night,
too.
You like the idea?
Well, why not?
Oh, my God.
That's great for the network, too. Wednesday night, Thursday. Would they still do the Thursday triple header and then the Black Friday? Man, because I don't like 8 games at the same time on Sunday. You can't keep up. So more the merrier. Subscribe, be part of the team, VSiN.com. Our radio and podcast friends, you always want to see these tweets and videos. At Pauly Does Vegas on Instagram. Send them in. We'll put you on where we used to broadcast from, the South Point. This is sexy. 50 Cent Ultimate X playing deuces, but Delta Royale with cheese without the deuce. $32,000. 2-7 times in there. That is incredible. Locks up. Don't have to hold anything. Christmas came early.
I think, each 7 times would be $14,000?
Yeah.
It's a little blurry, so I can't make out the numbers there, but the top line and the bottom line then combined for $28,000 of the $32,000 you said?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what they tweeted out. That's great. Excellent. Delt. Phenomenal. This guy is creative, and he can maneuver. The big guy with the stick trying to don't jump in the pond. Got to be careful here. With the agility and creativity, and that's a big stick. Is he coming around? How can I maneuver this, and how can I pull this off? As he's thinking, and Devado, can I sneak it in? Coming around? How am I going to do this? I don't want to fall in. Then I got to come around and sneak across the post. Tippy toe. You got it, buddy. There you go. Excellent. And he's proud of himself with the tail wagon.
Wow, beautiful dog.
Well done. Absolutely.
Look at that white coat. Oh, man.
Yep. A viewer sent this in. This wasn't the Caribbean, was it? Oh, my God. Look at this. Look at this setup when you're walking on vacation.
St. Bart's, maybe?
I think you're right. Yeah, that might be it. The upgrade with that view.
The whole thing is open?
Come on.
Wait, so I've never been there. Are you telling me, no mosquitoes, no bugs? The whole thing's open the entire time? Now that's heaven.
It is. That's out of a movie.
No kidding.
You're looking at that. And then you got your own pool? Right there?
Oh, wow.
Hot tub, pool, whatever it is? That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
That's legendary status right there. Come on. Looks like Jurassic Park in the background.
There's no reason to leave the room.
No. No way. Good question, though, about the bugs. Are we okay bug-wise? But very good. Dynamite. Several bad beats. I was livid. We were a part of a couple of them. Warriors money line and to cap off that parlay with Tankapalooza. Up 8 with 90 seconds against the Bulls. They blow it and lose in overtime. Mercyhurst plus 6.5. Tied with 4 minutes left. They lose by 9. Santa Clara plus 8.5. Had the lead in the second half and with about 11 minutes left. Lost by 11. McNeese, Rio Grande, under. You need triple overtime. Under 141, it goes over because of triple overtime. And one in hockey, the Red Wings led 3-2 with 90 seconds. They lost 4-3 in regulation. Come on. Founded in 2011, the Sharp Place completed a great run, including a 2025 campaign that saw bank rose double, 15 straight years of winning, documented with logs posted and records at sharpplays.com. When the Sharp Place moves, books take notice, advanced AI tools, trusted insider intelligence, respected, watched, and feared. Start winning with them at sharpplays.com. Fade Mr. Poison with the daily tweets. Jeff and the crew, fantastic. Sharpplays.com. Jump on it now.
So that championship game between McNeese and they're the two seed. Number one is Stephen F. Austin. McNeese on their home court bumped up to a 3.5-point favorite. Did you bet Austin in this game or no?
Oh, I had to take the points.
Yeah, I took some 3.5.
Yeah. I hate the short turnaround and off a triple overtime thriller.
Yeah, that's the worst beat of the night, though, right? Or
that's one of the worst of the year.
But is that, well, but you had the Warriors on the money line parlay.
Yeah.
That's a kick right to the groin.
Well, I could see missed free throws, turnovers, whatever, even against a bad team. Occasionally it can happen. But triple overtime?
That hurts.
You got to fade triple overtime? All right, we got some. Adam Schefter, according to one dialed-in source, he'd be shocked if Kyler Murray doesn't go to the Vikings. Jake Browning to Tampa.
That's done?
Yes. Chubb gets a ton of cash to the Bills.
$52 million for him.
Mechie to the Panthers. Hendrickson to the Ravens. Vikings cut Harrison Smith. Seahawks tender Bobo. Don't know what... Is the Cousins thing real? Or no?
I don't think it's official yet. There's just more speculation that he could sign with the Raiders, the way it looks.
All right.
So, as you're talking, Kyler Murray just went from 88% to 90% on prediction markets.
To Minnesota?
To Minnesota, yep.
There it is, okay.
$100 on a bet would get you $9, now $8 back.
Okay.
Where else is he going to go?
You got Cleveland or Pittsburgh, that's it. Man, they aren't going to Cleveland.
And that also is like, I know the Colts, the numbers, and Warren Sharp tweeted about this earlier today. They were 8-2 with Danny Dimes before the injury. They never won a game after, and all of their offensive numbers were elite,
this
some of the best
outrageous
in football.
Yeah.
But who was going to give him that much money?
$88 million?
You were
off an Achilles?
Yeah, you were bidding against yourselves. Right?
Well, what'd you think of the comment? He was the only guy we considered. A lot of ripped that comment. Saying, how are you a GM? How do you make that comment where he was your only guy on your radar?
That makes it even worse.
Fair enough.
I would think.
Yeah.
So you said maybe get on the over in that Wyoming-UNLV game. Wyoming hit UNLV with a huge run. We're now at about the midway mark of the second half out here in Las Vegas. UNLV leads Wyoming 55-52. That was a one-point game not that long ago. Now a two-point game again as Wyoming made a free throw. That total is now 149.5, and UNLV is currently sitting as a 2.5-point favorite. Louisville. Now, how about this?
Oh, what a comeback.
Leading SMU by 4, and we are under a minute to play in this game.
Lenardi, SMU, last four in. Central Florida, SMU, VCU, and Indiana. Central Florida's down 7?
Yep.
With 11 minutes left, and SMU's going to lose, unless they get a miracle. And UNLV is trying to blow a 16-point lead here. It's down to 1.
Oh, man.
Come on, guys.
Yeah, Auburn just had a double-digit lead against Miss State. They were up by 11. That lead is now 3.
All right.
The Tigers are laying 5.5 here in play, total 150.5.
Good bounce back by Providence. They were getting crushed early.
Yeah, that game is a lot of points so far.
Uh-huh.
42-40 Butler, live total 171.5 in that game. But pretty much every game going on right now is the Cincinnati-UCF game is not good. Nothing is, that's going to go under by 25 points. The SMU-Louisville game is going to go under by, as of right now, it's going under by like 45 points. Somehow, if you bet the over in that game, you would need SMU to miraculously pull out like overtime right now.
Well, what happened in the Big 12 was nuts. I mean, those were incredible scores.
Oh, meant nothing. Mm. Right? Talked about that yesterday, taking a shot with the early games. And once I went 1-1 in that Cincinnati game yesterday, I'm like, I'm not going to get involved. And then the BYU K-State game flew over. That total tonight against West Virginia is 141, but West Virginia likes to really slow it down and play in these meat grinders. In the game last night, that was a high total, by the way, and it went over that. Oklahoma State and Colorado.
Yeah. I like West Virginia. Bruce has an opinion on that game. I have a feeling Bruce will be on the dog, too, in that game.
Wyoming just took a three-point lead.
Oh, what a collapse. What a collapse.
It's
typical of their season.
Yeah, right. Right.
Damn. Not good. Outscored 27-11 so far. God, jeez. How do you cough this lead up?
Best bets with longtime college basketball veteran handicapper Bruce Marshall. Next, we'll get into a lot of these tournaments and a lot of the games that we have on the betting board for tonight.